from sea to shining sea throughout the solar system and extending to interstellar regions beyond. This is the Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on the Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, the Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, and it's the show where you matter. K-Files, well, when we sent out the K-Files this time, we had a little problem. I don't know if it was, well, something with the server, I guess. Anyway, it took all weekend to get it sent out. So some of you got it late. Some of you, perhaps, got it twice. If you did, I apologize for that. But, don't know what was causing the problem, but we did have a little bit of a problem. Congratulations are in order to our friends in Canada. What a great showing they had at the Winter Olympics. Capped off by their very decisive, convincing victory against the hockey team from the USA. And, that for Canadians, that sport and that match is far bigger than the Super Bowl is for anybody down here in the United States. And so our congratulations, I think there can be no doubt that in ice hockey, the Maple Leaf rules. Welcome to another great week here at the Kevin Smith Show. This is indeed going to be a great week. And we've got some fantastic guests lined up for you, fantastic topics. And I think it's going to be something that you can really sink your mind into, wrap your mind around, and it's going to be interesting for you. And but we try to do that every week. I grant you I don't hit a home run every time at plate, but we try. And so if you're not a member, you want to be sure that you become a member. It's only 23 cents a day. And if you're a member, then you can watch the show. And if you're not able to watch it live, you can watch it in replay. You know, just like we have listen to latest show, you can watch latest show. But you also have access not only to the TV channel, but to chat, forums, the K-Pods, that's our archives, our library of free ebooks, our free video galaxy. And lots of special opportunities. You know, every once in a while we have a video chat where we have one of the guests come in for a chat on Saturday morning. And they have their webcam on, and so we put them on screen, and you get to see them and chat with them. That's all in the members area, and there's lots and lots of other stuff. So let me encourage you to take the leap today. It's 23 cents a day, $6.95 a month. That's less expensive than that last cup of coffee you had or the one you may be drinking right now. So, look, I'm not saying don't drink coffee. Maybe just one cup less per day. So, you know, that wouldn't hurt me. I could do with one cup less per day. I have about three pots of coffee per day. for real. My guest tonight, Richard Sauter. Do you feel the earth move under your feet? We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Dr. Richard Sauter. And he's been our guest before. It's always a privilege to have him with us. Always interesting. And we know him because of the fact that while other people talk about things that fly in the air, Dr. Sauter has investigated and written about things that are under our feet. The subterranean world of planet Earth. He's got a new book out. It is called Hiding in Plain Sight, Beyond the X-Files. And if you click his picture on my website, it will take you to the page where you can actually read some excerpts from the book, and you can order the book. Dr. Sauter, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted to have you back this evening.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it.
You know, something that I didn't ask, I don't think I asked in our previous, your previous appearance here. I'm just curious. So many people are out there writing about flying saucers and extraterrestrials and ghosts and, you know, things that are around us and above us. What is it that made you so interested in what's under the ground?
Well, you know, I think there are a couple of things. To begin with, when I was a young boy, I was fascinated by caves. In fact, when I was about 6 years old, I won a spelling bee, and the teacher awarded me a book on caves and spelunking as a prize, and that really fired my imagination. So I suppose I had that early influence, but then much later, when I had grown to adulthood, I moved out to the southwestern region of the United States to go to graduate school, and for the first time really in my life, I began to encounter people who were telling stories that I heard about purported underground secret tunnels and bases that were operated allegedly by covert elements of the American military, and purported extraterrestrials or aliens. Now, I found those stories fascinating, but I also didn't know of any way that I could either prove or disprove that kind of story. So I kind of filed them for mental reference. They really, though, tickled my mind, if you will, and made me even more curious as years went by, until I had a break in my academic schedule, and I decided to do a little research in the open literature to see if there were any underground bases. And I discovered that there were. With just a little bit of research, I identified several publicly known bases, such as the one at Cheyenne Mountain, Colorado, Mount Weather in Northern Virginia, and these types of facilities. And so I wrote a little article for UFO Magazine in California, edited by Don and Vicki Ecker, in which I said, you know, I can't say anything about these purported ETs or extraterrestrials underground, but I can say that there definitely are underground bases, and here are some of them. Well, at that point, I felt like I had exhausted the topic. I little understood, though, that I had barely begun the work. Well, about 6 weeks after that article appeared in print, over the holidays in 1992, that was almost 18 years ago, the holidays in 1992, I was awakened out of a deep sleep in the middle of the night. Suddenly, I was very relaxed, just lying there in bed in the dark, wide awake, but physically very relaxed, with my eyes open, just staring at the ceiling in the dark, when all of a sudden I heard a voice speaking very matter-of-factly, yet distinctly in my ear. It was the voice of an adult male, a Caucasian, speaking normally accented late 20th century North American English. And he said to me, "The underground bases are real," just as matter-of-factly as I have just spoken the words. And, of course, at that point, I was literally and figuratively all ears. I would say from the very beginning, I felt like I was hearing a voice that was being transmitted to my inner ear by some electronic means. I never had any illusions that I was hearing the voice of God or of an angel or of a demon or that I was psychotic. Nothing of that sort. From the very beginning, I had the impression, and still do, that I was hearing the voice of a real flesh and blood man who had access to some exotic electronic technology, psychotronic technology that could beam a sound right into the brain of a target human, and that he also undoubtedly was on the inside of one or more secret compartmentalized programs that was working underground. Well, he went on to tell me for just about 2 or 3 minutes in general terms that there were vast underground workings, that there were projects of grand scope using sophisticated technology, that there were many people involved in this, that there was a lot of money tied up in it, in government agencies and corporations, construction firms, and so forth. So he went on like that for a couple of minutes, then he stopped just as abruptly as he had begun. But, of course, it was the middle of the night, so when he stopped talking, I was sleepy. I just went back to sleep. But the next morning when I awakened, I remembered very well what he had told me and the voice in the night. And I determined there and then that if what I had been told in that very unorthodox fashion was true, that there should certainly be some kind of paper trail. I know that when you have bureaucracies, whether they are civil or military government bureaucracies, or they are corporate bureaucracies, that organizations and agencies generate paper, memos, letters, reports, documents, books, plans, blueprints, you name it, bills of lading, receipts, all kinds of things. And I knew that because what I'd been told was so grand in scope that there had to have been some paper that fell through the cracks. So I went looking for it. And Kevin, I found a lot of it. And so that's why I've written books about it. That's why we're having this interview. There is a paper trail, and I have collected reams of evidence. And for you and your listeners and those who care to obtain my book and avail themselves of the information that's in it, they too can see some of this information. It's quite revealing.
One of the things, I was reading the chapter about the Nazis and the World War II and post-World War II development of these underground and subterranean and submarine bases. Yes. And there's a quote. There is something you said that I want to quote and get you to comment on it.
Yes.
You said, "Frankly, I now surmise that we are dealing with a science fiction-like reality that has been held back from public knowledge." Tell us about that.
Yeah, I don't have any question. Based on the totality of my research and my conversations and other things that I've seen, that a great deal of technology has been held back from us. Breakthroughs have been held back from us. We are being massively lied to. I have no question of that at all. And there's also the issue of purported extraterrestrials and or ETs that are here. Now, I cannot prove that, but I have to say at this point that the preponderance of evidence is strongly tilting in that direction. There have been so many people that have come forward from all walks of life over a period of decades now, approaching half a century or more, who have told all kinds of stories about interacting with ETs and or extraterrestrials, some of which are very human-like, by the way, so human-like that they could virtually pass for one of us and go to school with us or work with us and so forth. And it would be my bet that some of them are, which raises the question as to whether the human race does not in fact inhabit multiple planets in the Milky Way galaxy and not only the Earth. If that's the case, then it means we don't know our true history. And those who do know our true history have lied to us about it.
All right. Now,
I don't have any question about any of that anymore, Kevin. I believe that's the case.
Okay. Now, there's something else that you wrote about, and I sort of link them together because you said, you know, a science fiction-like reality. And what I'm about to share and get you to comment on sounds like something out of a James Bond movie.
Yes.
Dick Cheney's neighbors, and I'm quoting now, Dick Cheney's neighbors, this is when he was vice president, began to complain about a construction project at the vice president's residence that created repeated huge blasts that were rocking their neighborhood, and the explosions emanated from Dick Cheney's own house. Now, it should be said that the vice president of the United States lives in a mansion on the grounds of the U.S. Naval Observatory in northwest Washington, D.C., just off of Massachusetts Avenue. And the location is surrounded by expensive homes in a wealthy section of town. So here are these people in their mansions complaining because the vice president, I mean, you know, when I was a cop, they used to send us out to tell people that we're having a party, turn the music down.
Oh, yeah.
Because the neighbors are complaining. I never got sent to a house to tell them to stop blowing stuff up. Okay? What's the deal with the explosions coming from the vice presidential mansion?
Well, you know, that was a story that was covered a couple of times in the Washington Post. And these incidents took place several years ago during the George W. Bush administration. And in fact, there were hundreds of these explosions. And, of course, if you or anyone that you or I know were to set off hundreds of explosions, if you were to detonate high explosives at your house even one time, your property would be swarming with cops and SWAT teams and people from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and on and on. And not so in this case. The vice president, it turns out, can set off hundreds, can detonate hundreds of explosions at his house, and it's all passed off as a high-security matter. The Navy did send out a spokesperson to say that there was some utility infrastructure and upgrade work being done. But, of course, that's pure nonsense. That's just an idiotic statement on its face.
Well, the superintendent of the...
Who does sewer work or works on the water mains with dynamite? I mean, that's just insane. And it's insulting for the United States military to actually... talk down to the American people in that manner. It's just bizarre.
Oh, well, I'm with you on that. But now the U.S. Naval Observatory Superintendent, David Gillard, did send a letter out in which he said that due to its sensitive nature in support of national security and homeland defense, project specification is classified and cannot be released. In addition, please understand, we are severely constrained, and this is what I found very interesting, by operation requirements to perform this project on a highly accelerated schedule, indicating that whatever it is they were doing was in preparation for something they deemed impending. And since it's homeland security and national security related, then we can only say that they deemed that this was an impending danger to national security and homeland security. Therefore, they had to hurry up.
Well, what is national security? And anyway, I don't like this term homeland. It smacks of 1930s and 1940s fascism. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a word that the Nazis might have cooked up. We didn't used to use this word 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, boom, the George Bush administration coined it out of thin air. What's wrong with just...
Well, it actually was used by the Nazis.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with just saying the country? Why mm-hmm. do we have to say the homeland? It sounds like something that would come out of a movie. It sounds like something the Klingons or the Borg.
pardon my chuckling. You caught me off guard on that. Yeah, it does sound like the Klingons,
I mean,
doesn't it?
We have a word in English that means the same thing, and the word is country.
Yeah.
What's wrong with just saying the country?
Oh, I agree.
Why do we have to make up new words?
Well, what were they doing?
That are bureaucratic and officious. You know, I don't know. And the point is, it's the people's money that paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they say national security, that's a buzzword. What does national security mean anyway? If by national security they mean in the event of a shooting nuclear war, Dick Cheney would go deep underground and he would survive, but everyone else would die because they couldn't get in his super duper secret underground bunker, then that turns out to be Dick Cheney's security. Not national security.
Well, and see, that would not be out of step with what we know about something that the vice president's office does. There is an organization within the government called COG, Continuation of Government.
Yes.
Now, the COG is under the office of the vice president. By under, I mean that's who they answer to. They answer directly to the vice president. And so in the event of some type of like a nuclear war or something super catastrophic, the task of continuation of government falls to the vice president, not to the president, to the vice president. And that's something a lot of people do not know. But
right.
Because of that, and then you link that up with this statement from the Naval Observatory Superintendent. It makes sense. I'm just speculating, but it makes sense that this was some sort of continuation of government bunker that was being blasted out under Dick Cheney's home. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. We'll talk about it some more when we come back. We have to step away for a break. Don't go away. Welcome back, and my guest this evening is Richard Sauder. So, Richard, I was just speculating that because of the fact that the COG, the COG, Continuation of Government, is under the vice president, that perhaps the facility for doing continuation of government, maybe that's what they were installing under the vice president's house.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Kevin. And in fact, it's the continuity of government program,
mm-hmm.
and it's very troubling because for a couple of reasons, the funding for this is secret, and the Constitution explicitly states that there shall not be secret funding. Rather, there shall always be every 2 years a full accounting made for all of the spending done by the American government. This does not happen under continuity of government. So whatever is being continued, as it were, it is not constitutional government. That's the first troubling factor. The second troubling factor is that not only is the spending for it secret, but the public is not told what's involved. Therefore, we not only have a funding, unconstitutional funding, but we actually have government activities about which we know nothing. We have no provision in the American Constitution for secret government. Secret government is the province of military dictatorship. We don't have a constitution that countenances military dictatorship. That's point number two. So that's profoundly un-American. And point number three is that Dick Cheney specifically is the last person I would want running the American government in the event of an emergency, because this is a man who has signed off on torture, on illegal, unconstitutional warfare. This is a man who was heavily involved in the events, the false flag attacks on 9/11, and he is neo-fascist in a word.
Okay, now I have to say,
troubled by this.
I do have to say that is one perspective on Dick Cheney. But there are, in fairness, there are people who voted for Cheney and Bush. There are people.
Oh, in great ignorance.
Well, but that's an opinion. That's an opinion. They, I think they would say that they thought that that team was the better team, and that's why they voted for them. But let me tell you what. Let me tell you what now. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about Democrats or Republicans. When you're talking about the people that actually wind up in Washington, D.C., you're talking about people who, Democrat or Republican, have betrayed this country again and again and again.
You see, I'm not disagreeing with that, Kevin,
yeah,
whatsoever.
But here's the thing. The underground activity that was under that vice presidential mansion, whatever it is they built is still there. And I speculate, I could be wrong, but I speculate it has to do with that continuity of government program. But then, well, Richard, you've discovered it's not just in the United States. You've discovered that there are these underground facilities literally all over the world.
Well, they are all over the world. The problem is that I don't live all over the world. I live in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, what happens here is of more concern to me. I can't feasibly investigate what's happening in Switzerland or Saudi Arabia,
mm-hmm,
or Norway, for example, though there certainly are underground facilities there. However, the preponderance, it appears, my research indicates that the underground activity in this country is just frantic. And the amount of money that's been sucked out of the economy illegally and unconstitutionally by grand theft is staggering, running well into the multi-billions, certainly into the hundreds of billions, and for all I know, into the trillions. The work of Catherine Austin Fitz, for example, at Solari.com has shown that the American government has siphoned off trillions of dollars out of the economy over the last 10, 15, 20 years. This is money that has been stolen from the American people. It is a massive sum. It has been stolen from our posterity. They have snatched bread from our children's mouths. They have consigned millions of Americans to poverty because they have so sabotaged the American economy to carry out these secret black budget programs about which we are told nothing. And this is fascism. It's not democracy. It's not open government. It's not representative government. It is neo-fascism. It is a dictatorship. We are being lied to. Our goodwill is being traded on. We are being stolen from, and on a massive scale. I object to it, and I can only wonder why so many people look on and see these things and don't complain.
Well, one of the reasons...
Okay.
One of the reasons is... I don't know whether it's a fault of the masses of American people or if it's a function of having been brainwashed by the lamestream media, but the great number of people, the great majority of people, would not believe a lot of the stuff that you have documented. You can lay the documents in front of them, and they simply will not believe it. They say that's science fiction. And, for instance, let me give you an example. You write about a maglev system underground, a high-speed subterranean train system. And you write that it is possible that it is that you can travel the world this way, but certainly you can go all over the United States underground in these high speed, super high speed maglevs. Now, when you tell that to the vast majority of people, the vast majority of people will say, that's science fiction, that's James Bond, that's not real. But it is real.
Well, you know, Kevin, I've reached a point where I write what I write, and I say what I say, and if one person in 10,000 listens and pricks up their ears and takes to heart, God bless them, I'll talk to that one person in 10,000. I just don't have time to take the great unwashed masses by the hand and say, would you please open your eyes? Would you please try to understand? Past a certain point, you're responsible for your own stupidity. And past a certain point, if bad things happen to you because you are so stupid, it's your fault.
That's true.
You've asked for it.
All right, now let me ask you a question. These maglevs, have you been able to determine anything about what they're being used for?
Well, let me say, first of all, that what I have is a paper trail that discusses them, starting all the way back in the 1930s in Nazi Germany, with the work of a German engineer named Hermann Kemper, who worked on the R&D for these underground, very high-speed maglev tube trains right through the 30s and up into World War II. And the Germans continued this research into maglev train technology after World War II, and they have some of the most advanced transportation technology in the world right now as a result, as do the Chinese. The Germans and the Chinese have worked closely together on this. The Japanese have also done quite a lot of work in this field. Much less work has been done in this country, at least publicly. Now, I can say that after the war, the paper trail continued. Robert Goddard, who's the father of American rocketry, and who, by the way, carried out his rocket test at Roswell, New Mexico. Did you know that?
Yes.
Anyway, he, in 1949, had a patent issued for a very high-speed underground maglev tube train that in his scheme was designed to go coast-to-coast in the United States in about 10 minutes. This is in 1949.
That is high speed, for sure.
Pardon me?
I said, that is high speed, for sure.
That's almost an orbital velocity, but it's underground. And then his work was followed on by others, notably Robert Salter, who did some work for the Rand Corporation in the 1970s on a concept called the plane train, PLANTRAN, which was very similar to the Robert Salter, to the Robert Goddard design, but Salter's conception was designed to go coast to coast in about 20 minutes with some stops, intermediate stops on the way. And his design would go also about 15,000 miles per hour in deeply buried tunnels. So this is something that actual patents have been granted for, and the Rand Company, of course, is a very important military-industrial complex think tank and has been for the entirety of the post-World War II period. So this is some of the type of literature and documentation you can find on the surface. And, of course, there are the occasional anecdotal accounts of people alleging to have seen these systems or to know something about them. All of this would be operating in the black realm, in the compartmentalized world, in the black budget world, where you don't get in unless you sign very heavily on the dotted line. In other words, you sign your life away and would never be your own person again. Once you enter those programs, you never exit, in a sense, and that you always are operating under very severe secrecy oaths with heavy penalties for violation.
All right. Are all of these maglevs that are in the United States, are they under the U.S. military control? Or
I don't know. I don't know, number one, how many of them are and exactly where they go. I will tell you that I don't know. I have been told that there is an organization, if you will, I believe that simply refers it to itself informally as the organization. You have to understand there are multiple levels of power control on this planet. You have formally instituted governments, which, by the way, act illegally and unconstitutionally all the time. The United States government is a prime example. It operates more like a rogue global criminal syndicate than it does by a government that's run by laws and by constitutional controls. So you have, anyway, governments. At least on paper you have governments, and they have elections every once in a while. Of course, the elections in many cases are rigged in other countries, as they are in this country, as we've seen in recent years. We've seen how rigged the elections are. So we have that at one level. At another level, you have huge banks and huge money interests on Wall Street and the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, the European Central Bank, and those types of institutions. They have a great deal of power as well. Then you have powerful military institutions like the Pentagon in the United States, the People's Liberation Army in China, and so forth. And then you have the powerful multinational corporations like General Electric or Siemens, huge multinational companies like that, and there are several hundred of them around the planet.
Richard, we have a break coming up, and this will be a good place for us to step back, and we'll pick up right there when we come back, because I want everyone to hear all these multi-layers. But we have to step away for just a couple of minutes here for a break. Folks, we will be back right after this, so don't go away. My guest this evening is Richard Sauder, and we're talking about these underground facilities. Some are bases, some are subways, secret subways, deep underground. Some are under the ocean, and we're going to talk about those in just a moment. When we went away for break, Richard, we were talking about these layers of control.
Exactly. And so you have these many organizations and agencies that do have power in their own right, but above them or beneath them, depending on your perspective, there are other shadowy power players. And then you have tycoons like Bill Gates or George Soros or, you know, William Buffett. We think about these multi-billionaires as being very powerful people, and they are, but even they operate publicly. Behind them in the shadows are the so-called powers that be, who have even more influence over what happens in the world than presidents or prime ministers or national legislatures. These people pull strings behind the scenes somewhat in the manner of puppet masters. And my understanding is that there is a shadowy organization that operates globally and that loosely or even tightly coordinates policy and projects from behind the scenes, and does so on a grand scale, whether it's macroeconomics, whether it's engineering world wars, or whether it's engineering great changes in technology, such as the Industrial Revolution, or the development of electronic technology, or aerospace technology, that sort of thing. They wield a great deal of influence. And it's my understanding that it's this type of group that ultimately holds itself aloof from the great bulk of humanity and uses these other people as its minions, whether they're princes, kings, queens, prime ministers, presidents, multi-billionaire industrial tycoons, etc. They would be the pawns that these people use to carry out their policies, their grand schemes on the global chessboard. So these many underground facilities would appear to tie in to their grand plans. And much of what is happening on this planet is kept secret from us, the more so when it is underground or undersea and out of sight, out of mind, and when you can't get in, not only because you don't know where the facilities are, but because even if you do know where they are, they're so physically secure that unless you have a personal invitation, you just will not go in.
One of the things you write about is an underwater base in the Gulf of Mexico. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I've heard stories about underwater bases in the Gulf of Mexico. Some of it secondhand, and I'm inclined to believe them because when I went to the engineering literature, first of all, I found out something about the geology of the subsea floor of the Gulf of Mexico, and it's very conducive to tunneling and to excavating undersea facilities. And I've heard buzz for a number of years about facilities on the floor of the Gulf of Mexico or actually beneath the sea floor. And then, of course, I have the plans from the Navy itself for constructing undersea facilities on the continental shelf of the United States. So the Gulf of Mexico is definitely part of the continental shelf of North America. I also know that most of the Gulf of Mexico is considered a military zone by the Pentagon. They have it parceled out into military zones, 8 or 10 different military sectors. So you put all those dots together, and for me, the conclusion that there are undersea facilities in the Gulf of Mexico approaches 100%. When I was doing the research for this book, I was contacted by a man who works for a company that provides machinery and equipment to the underground excavation industry for mining and also for civil engineering. And he was approached by Parsons Brinckerhoff, which is a well-known, Parsons Brinckerhoff, Quaid and Douglas is a well-known underground excavation firm, but so is Parsons. And he was approached by Parsons for some equipment for a facility that he was told was an undersea facility down beneath the seafloor. The equipment that they ordered and that he shipped was the type of equipment that would only be used by human beings in an enclosed underground space, leading to the conclusion on his part that it was that the facility that was being built not only was undersea but was designed for live, breathing human habitation. So those are the kinds of stories that I've heard and have been told while I'm doing my research, and they dovetail very well with the hard documentation I've gotten from the Navy and also from the Stanford Research Institute going all the way back to the 1960s. And these were planning documents for putting permanent manned undersea bases down in the seafloor beneath the deep sea, well out to sea.
You know, I have had as a guest on this show a man who says that he has been in such an undersea base off the coast of Puerto Rico. And
yes, that's possible.
You know, his name is Aaron McCollum.
I don't know him, but I don't dismiss his story. In fact, Puerto Rico is one of the places where some of these stories have surfaced from. And it is a fact that for many years, the United States Navy had a base at Roosevelt Roads on the east coast of Puerto Rico, and then there's an island just to the east of Puerto Rico that's named Vieques, which for decades was the United States, most of the island was the United States military reservation where they conducted war games, and it was also a bombing range and munitions range. So there's been a very high level of American, of U.S. Navy activity in that region, and also there have been many reports of highly strange American military activities in Puerto Rico and in the waters adjacent to Puerto Rico. So I can easily believe that story.
You speak in your book, and again, folks, the title of the book is Hiding in Plain Sight, Beyond the X-Files.
I could make a minor correction. It's Hidden in Plain Sight.
Hidden, yeah. What did I say? Hiding?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Hidden in Plain Sight, Beyond the X-Files. And but see, Richard, I'm looking right at it. I'm looking right at it on this piece of paper, but I'm an old guy, so I do weird stuff sometimes. Okay. But you write about a presidential escape train under the New York Hotel. Now, that's pretty specific. How do we know that there is such an escape train under the New York Hotel?
Well, that was a report that appeared in the mainstream press at the, on the occasion of George Bush going to New York City on one of his formal functions. And actually, what it amounted to was there was an unused railroad siding beneath the hotel. Was it the Waldorf Astoria? I forget the name of the hotel right off the top of my head. But the story appeared in the newspaper, and the idea was that in the event of some type of crisis, the president could take an elevator down beneath the hotel and board this train on a tunnel beneath Manhattan and be spirited away. My guess is that that might even have been a misdirection, in that a story would be put into the popular press, into the mainstream news media to that effect, and might be true as far as it goes. However, I expect there was probably a better escape exit than that. It would be my guess that Manhattan is just honeycombed with tunnels underground.
All right, now, when we talk about these underground facilities, we're not talking about a little tunnel that you crawl through. We're talking about some massive, massive caverns that have been artificially, in some cases, manufactured underground. In some cases, they've used natural caverns and enhanced them. When we come back from this break, let's talk about the size of some of these things, because they are huge. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Back. We will open the telephone lines in just a moment. They're not open yet, but I'll open them in just a moment because I want you who are listening to have the opportunity to join us with your questions or your comments. Let's talk just briefly, Richard, about the purported size of some of these things. How big are we talking about?
Well, gargantuan in some cases. For example, just to use the well-known Federal Emergency Management Agency base under Mount Weather, which is about an hour's drive west of Washington, D.C. in the Blue Ridge Mountains, that can accommodate, I think, a couple of thousand people or so, hundreds of feet underground. It's literally a small town buried deep underground, and people can actually live and work down there for weeks on end, even months if they had to. So these places can just be mammoth. I give an example in my book of David Adair, who was taken underground at Area 51 many years ago. I think this was back in the 1970s when he was a teenager. He was an engineering prodigy, and some of his work came to the attention of the United States military. And so they wanted to take him out to Area 51 to show him some extraterrestrial technology they had somehow obtained to get his feedback on it, because they didn't understand it. And when he arrived there, it was clear to him that the U.S. military didn't know what they were dealing with. So they brought in this teenage whiz kid to see if he could make some sense of it. Anyway, they took him underground, and he describes being taken down on an elevator the size of a football playing field, which slowly lowered underground a couple of hundred feet down. And he was taken out into a cavernous underground space that he felt like could easily park 100 747 jumbo jets. In other words, just huge, mammoth, mind-boggling, enormous. And he saw a lot of exotic technology and craft down there, most of which he doesn't discuss, but he did discuss the technology that he was taken to see. In any event, for my purposes, the most interesting thing is that that's an example, an instance of how mind-numbingly huge these facilities can be. The listeners should understand that the state-of-the-art and modern underground construction and civil engineering and mining engineering is really almost science fiction-like, and you can make cathedral-like spaces underground, actually larger than that, that could hold multiple Notre Dame cathedrals deep underground with plenty of space left over.
All right. It is strange stuff. It is truly, truly strange stuff. We're crawling around out here, folks, on the surface of this planet, going about our daily tasks, thinking that we kind of have a pretty good grip on planet Earth. We sort of understand. And then revelations like this come out, and we realize that there is very possibly an entire secret society worldwide, maybe, that function literally under our feet. All right, we want to invite our audience to join us by telephone, and if you have a question or a comment for Richard Sauter, or maybe you have been in one of these underground or undersea facilities and you want to share with us what you saw. The main number here in the studio is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number, it's toll-free in the USA and Canada, the undisputed hockey champs of the world. And the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. If you live outside of the USA and you live outside of Canada and you don't wish to make the long-distance call, the international long-distance call to our main number, you can use the flash message option on my website, and just go to my site, kevinsmithshow.com, and scroll down, and you will see a link that says flash message. If you're in the USA, if you're in Canada, and you use that flash message feature, our filters will knock it out, and I won't even see it. So don't waste your time. I'll even pay for your call if you need me to. All right? Okay, let's go to the telephone, and caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and goodbye. 623-444-5889. That's the main number. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello, you know, Kevin, if I wanted to start a riot yesterday at a bingo hall, I just would have had to go on a mic and say the U.S. had won.
Well, see, here's the problem, Kevin. The U.S. team thought they were playing golf.
Oh, boy.
And so the deal is you have to have the lowest score. So they thought they won.
Well, we can get into details on Open Line Live. Hello there, Richard. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Great. I've studied the deep underground military bases for quite a bit myself. I haven't read any books on it, though. I've seen a lot of the videos on it. And, yeah. You know, if they were able to keep this kind of huge magnanimous operation secret, I can just imagine what other secret programs have been going on this planet. Some people say, well, if 9/11 was an inside job, it would have taken thousands of people. They would never have been able to keep it secret, or the aliens would never have been able to be kept secret. I think this kind of operation kind of proves that, yes, they can keep secrets this big.
Oh, yeah. We live on a compartmentalized planet. This whole planet is a compartmentalized operation. We compartmentalize one another. We compartmentalize our own lives and our own minds. And by the way, it's not only the military involved, and it's not only the American military. Though the American military is involved, it is not the only actor underground and undersea, not at all. There are other military agencies from other countries also involved. There are non-military agencies involved. There are ETs involved. There are other organizations that are not governmental or military involved. It's very complex. Having said all of that, of course, the American military certainly is a major player underground and undersea.
And big money, too, because I understand there's some contractors
huge
that
money.
Said that they were offered a lot of money to keep quiet on these things. And another thing I'd like to know is...
Go ahead.
What have they been preparing for? It seems like these things that they really pushed this into high gear to get these things built very quickly. Not only these, but also the concentration camps in North America and Canada and around the world on the surface. And they're getting ready apparently for some big things to be happening, and I think relatively soon. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, big things are happening. If you live in Chile, a really big thing happened a couple of days ago. If you live in Haiti, a really big thing happened just a few weeks ago. So depending on where you live, the big things are already starting to occur. It looks like there are going to continue to be major earthquakes and volcanoes. Volcanic activity has been very high the last couple of years. And so it looks like seismically, the Earth has become a great deal more active in recent years. I look for that to continue. Also, from a political and economic and military standpoint, we have entered into a period of great global instability. Of course, the weather, we all know here in North America how fluky and changeable the weather has been in recent months. It's just been a crazy, wacky winter. It's not over, and I don't even know what to think about this coming spring and summer. Who knows what kind of weather events that they will bring. So we live on a planet that's in a period of tremendous transformation, and as we go through this phase of instability, I expect that those who fancy themselves to be the powers that be, our betters, our superiors, from their standpoint, want to make sure that they maintain control. And so that many of these bases have more than one purpose. Some of them would have a purely military purpose, such as command, communication, and control, or of weapons storage and or deployment and or production. Some of them would be intended for civilian government functions and administrative duties. Some would be intended as warehouses or storehouses for anything, use your imagination, from A to Z. Others would be used for data archives and data repositories. Some are industrial facilities. Others are scientific research facilities. So there are many different reasons and functions behind these undersea and underwater, underground installations. Now, one of the things it does appear some of these bases are intended to do is to serve as a Noah's Ark in the case of some kind of great continent-wide or global catastrophe, where a relict population could be taken underground and weather the storm, literally, if need be. and then come out after things had settled down topside and re-began a civilization or culture. If you're not on the list, I'm not on the list, I don't think Kevin is, it's not meant for the likes of you.
I'm not on that list.
Whoever's on the list, we don't know them. Mm-hmm. It's a separate society. And right there, there's a split in human society. Kevin said earlier, you know, it looks like maybe we have two societies on this planet. Yes, sir, at least two, if not more.
All right, let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
The line, we're breaking up and it's just, I don't know what's going on.
Okay. Caller, are you on the line with me? Okay, that caller has released. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223.
I don't know if you can hear me, but someone or something has tampered with the telephone.
4599 888-223-4599. That's the toll-free number. All right, let's try to get Richard back on the broadcast line again. And Richard, can you hear me now?
Kevin, I can hear nothing.
Okay. Okay, well, somebody didn't like what he had to say, I guess, because as you can hear, we're still connected to him. He just can't hear us. So we'll get him back on the line, and we'll see what happens here. But if you have a question or a comment, please feel free to call in 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. All right, let's see. That didn't work, so let's try it again. And we'll see if we can get Richard back on the line. Is that interesting or what? Could you hear that phone ring? Only there's no incoming call. Yeah, somebody is having some fun with us. There was no incoming call. None. Could you hear it ring? All right, now what they've done is they have disconnected our internet feed for the telephone lines. Is that interesting? So it's going to be one of those kind of nights. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can hear me, and I'm not at all sure that you can, but if you can, give me a call. Let me know, or send me an email and let me know. And let me see what we've got on the flash message side over here. Somebody really does not like what Richard had to say. Because even our flash messages have gone down. Wow. Well, I'm going to continue broadcasting. I'm going to continue saying that what we are experiencing is very definitely outside interference. And it is possible that our feed has been cut. It is possible that you cannot hear me. And because of that, it makes it frustrating for you. It makes it frustrating for me. But remember this. Remember, for those of you who are catching this show as the latest show, you're not listening live. And for those of you that are catching it, you know, as watch latest show, remember what has been said. And remember that someone out there decided that you didn't need to hear this. Someone out there decided to cut the entire internet connection. Now, what's happening is we're still able to record what's going on. It's just not getting out to you. And so if you're catching this later, then what you need to do is just view this as a great big yellow highlighter over stuff that Richard has said. And let's remember that. You may have to go back and replay a few minutes of this in order to make sure that you catch what it is he said, because something in there was quite irritating to the PTBs, powers that be. Okay? Our flash messages have just come back up, and let's see. Okay, I got that one. Now, we will try at this moment, we will try to get Richard back on the line with us. Look, folks, this is not all that unusual for a show like this. This is pretty common, but this one is rather dramatic, and a little bit more bothersome than normal. All right, let's manually try this.
I got a really bizarre tone whenever I made connection with you just before it went dead.
Uh-huh. Okay, now I'm dialing out. I don't know if that's going to work.
Hello?
Yeah, Richard, are you there?
Yes, I can hear you fine now. What's wrong?
Well, we've just been under attack. Some of the powers that be, I guess, didn't want people to hear what you had to say. I'm going to put you back on where you can. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir, I hear you just fine.
Yeah, just every few seconds for the past couple of minutes, they kill the internet, then it comes back up. Then they kill it, then it comes back up. And
shows you I've struck a nerve, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, you know, it's just like putting yellow highlighter over everything you said.
Would you like to know one of the techniques they use and that they were probably using at the observatory?
Let's hear it.
They take a paste that does not permit any kind of heat transference, and they parameter what they want to tunnel. Then you can take two DVAT batteries and provide enough heat to produce a volume reduction that will cause that explosion.
Is so, audio technology?
Are you talking to me?
I don't know who I'm talking to.
Yeah, you're talking with James in Fort Worth. So what was your question, Richard?
I don't know what type of technology he's describing. Evidently, it is driven by two D-cell batteries. Is that correct?
DVAT batteries. We'll discuss that when we come back from break, if we're still here. Okay, we'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. James, you hang on. We'll get to you right after the break. Welcome back, and we hope we still have Richard Sauter with us, our guest. Richard, are you still online with me?
I'm right here.
All right. James from Texas, are you still online with me? No, we lost him. Okay. It's been an interesting night so far, and we've got a little ways to go yet. Folks, if you're new, if this is the first time that you've tuned into the show, let me tell you, this is not the intensity of this disruption was a little unusual. because they took over a computer. They killed our internet connection and brought it back up, killed it, brought it back up, killed it, brought it back up. Had my telephones ringing when there was nobody there. There was no incoming call, but the phone was ringing. And but this is not all that unusual, because whenever our guests start saying something that strikes nerves, this stuff starts happening. It's a little frustrating, but it's a little exciting, too, because every time they do it, these morons don't even understand. That's just like putting yellow highlighter over everything that guest just said. And now we know.
It demonstrates that, in fact, we don't live in a free society. We do live in a dictatorship. We do live in a society where we are being lied to, where there are these secret undersea and underground facilities and tunnels. It's all been covered up. Money is being thrown into high-tech holes in the ground. It has been for the better part of a century, and we don't know about it. We're not intended to know about it. We're intended to be, frankly, slaves.
Yeah, but thanks to people like you, we do know about it. And then when these morons pull what they just pulled, it's just like putting highlighter pen over everything you've written and everything you've just said, and it draws our attention to it and makes us sit up and say, okay, they don't want us to know about that, so it must be true.
Listening to those listening, that's just been a great advertisement for my book. Go out and buy my book and find out what they don't want you to know.
There you go. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Okay, now when you call and I put you on hold, you can hear us talking in the background. And if you hang up, you automatically go to the end of the line, okay? We'll try it. Now, caller, if you hang up while you're on hold, you go to the end of the line. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is John from Mesa, Arizona.
Hello, John. I thought you were going to send me an email.
I did, but I must have sent it to the wrong one.
Well, try it again.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay. What's on your mind this evening?
As we were talking about these underground facilities, a few years ago there was a comet that was coming through called Apophis and the Second Sun and many other things, and it was in 2003, and it was supposed to have been twice the size of Jupiter coming through on the plane of the ecliptic, and I was wondering if all of this underground construction was a process for the elite and those who were spending our money to save their own hides were doing an accelerated dig to get their butts underground and leave the rest of us out. Is that a possibility?
Oh, I wouldn't rule that out whatsoever. In fact, it very much appears that those who fancy themselves to be our superiors or betters regard us as herd animals, as livestock almost, and they presume that they uniquely are qualified and suited for self-rescue while we are to be consigned to destruction. This has come out to me quite clearly in looking at so-called national security documents, for example, in past years, that quite frankly discussed up to 140 million or more of the American people being casualties in a nuclear war, while the political and technical and military so-called elite take themselves underground to ride out the nuclear storm that they have created through their policies, we will be left topside to essentially be microwaved. And so this is their attitude. They're willing to consider casualties of 100 million, 140 million, just so long as they themselves personally survive.
Right. My phone was cutting out, but I got most of that. I'm assuming that most of the stuff from underground was maybe slowed down, or there wasn't quite the intensity after that last comment came through. I know that there's a lot of talk of something coming through from the direction of the South Pole that is not really visible to many of the telescopes at this point. So we
I don't
the
know about that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I can tell you that the word I get is that the underground construction continues right up into the first decade of the 21st century. I think that continues. It's a major operation. It's been going on for decades, not only in the United States, but other countries. But, brother, let me tell you, there is plenty of it going on underground in the United States and also under the seas and the oceans.
Well, you know, there are many people like yourself who've done research on this, and as far as officially it's a secret, but it seems to be fairly well known in the so-called underground, or those of us who seek knowledge and information somewhere other than the big three news media.
That's right. It you wouldn't know about it if you watched CNN and Fox News and you read the Wall Street Journal every day. You would know virtually nothing about any of this. So you're right. We have had...
I think the term that they use for it, I think the term you referred to earlier is called Goya, which means cattle. They really don't think much of us or our potential and the select few that they
need. I don't really care about that much anymore. I have some regard for myself, and I have some regard for you and for Kevin and you know, the vast majority of the human race. But you're right, there is this certain element who fancy themselves to be better than the rest of us, and they do regard us as livestock, basically, and I don't care about their opinion. It's worthless to me.
Well, it doesn't seem to bother me either. It's just learning their term of references so that we can put them on a shelf and keep an eye on them.
I don't want to live my life on their terms, and so we establish our own terms. I've gone and done my own research. I found out information for myself, and it's your good fortune that I've written a book. And if you want to learn a lot of the information that I know, you can buy the book, and you essentially get a data dump from my brain to yours through my book.
Sounds great. I'll do that.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, a lot of your book is the documentation. I mean, you say things, and then you present the documentation for it.
It's their own documentation.
Mm-hmm.
It's their own documentation. I have taken the documentation that these agencies that work for the powers that be have produced, and they can't control all of the paper. Some of it slips through the cracks. I have to say, based on what I have seen in the public record, that God only knows what is classified that I haven't seen, that I haven't gotten my hands on, because based purely on what I have seen that is not classified, it's already mind-boggling at that extent, Kevin. So I'm assuming that there's even much more beyond what I've been able to discover.
Oh, I would think so. Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, Kevin, this is Brett in Marquette, Michigan, and greetings to you, Dr. Sauter. A couple things. I used to live down in Maryland, and for years I had heard about underground rail systems for the missile defense system around D.C., and I was dating a girl in high school, and I actually came across one of the entrances to one of these, one of the elevators that went down below, you know, the ground for the military. And recently I looked on Google Earth to see if it was still there, and it has since been removed and covered up. Another thing, had you heard anything of any underground bases around the East Coast, around by Assateague Island, which would be on the just south of Ocean City, Maryland?
I know what you mean. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was laying on the beach years ago, and I had my head to the sand, you know, I was laying on my stomach, and I heard machinery, and it was very repetitive, and I brought this to the attention of my friends, and one of my friends listened and said, "Oh, you're just hearing sand crabs." I was just like, "Wow, this has been going on for a few hours." And it was pretty interesting because it's stuck in my head ever since then.
Yeah, I don't know about Assateague per se with regards to underground construction there. I would say that just because it's on the coast, and for those who don't know, it's on the Atlantic coast of Virginia on the Delmarva Peninsula. But
yes,
it doesn't mean that there can't be something underground there or undersea, because modern engineering can go anywhere, and it doesn't matter that it's under the ocean or in a coastal region. Now, very near to Assateague is Wallops Island, which is one of NASA's rocket launching facilities, and they've been launching missiles and rockets from there for decades. So it's possible that what you heard may have been connected with some operation at Wallops Island.
Never thought about that.
Well, it's very close by. I don't know exactly where you were, but I would think it's within at least 20 miles of where you were.
Oh, geez, I didn't realize it was that close.
I think it's pretty close. Assateague is right next to Chincoteague Island, and Wallops Island is right there within that near vicinity.
Wow. Well, thank you for the information. I'll have to look that up
next
time I'm down that way.
Brett, let me ask you a question. Are you a first-time caller?
No, actually, I've called several times before.
Okay.
Over the past couple years or so.
Well, it's been a while. I don't recognize your voice. You need to call more often.
Yes, I certainly do.
Okay. Thank you for the call.
Fantastic show. Yeah, fantastic
Thanks.
Show. Yep. Have a good night.
All right. Wallops is a major launch site.
Yes, it is. NASA has a lot of launch sites. There's Wallops Island. NASA is a thoroughly militarized organization, and from the very beginning has closely coordinated with the Army and with the Air Force and other military agencies. So you have the facility at Wallops Island, and you have the facility at Cape Canaveral in Florida. Then you also have the White Sands Missile Range in New Mexico.
Vandenberg.
Mm-hmm. Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. You have the Kwajalein Atoll out in the mid-Pacific. And then you also, at Area 51, have a really long runway, which I've been led to believe can handle orbital space planes, and they come and go from there. And also from Edwards Air Force Base in Palmdale and in California. So there are many facilities that NASA and the U.S. military, both Army and Air Force, use for accessing the space and near-space environment.
All right, we have to step away for a break. Caller, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Yes.
All right, you hang on. We'll be back, folks, right after this. We are back, and we are on Final Approach. Richard, we have someone on hold, so let's go straight to the phone. Caller, your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. I feel kind of bad to have to call in and say this, but, you know, I just wanted to say that I love the guest, and I love the way he presents information, but I think that our CIA has been attacked lately. People are leaking out information about where our nukes are. Other countries don't just show all the, you know, where their bases are and their strategic defenses. And I think our country, you know, needs its defense. And I think, I don't believe in censorship, but I have to say, I think we're crossing the line. And I like when things are towards UFOs, and I believe that it shouldn't all be covered up and we should know about things, but, I'm gonna have to, and my argument with the fact that I do like the fact that the United States has some secret things, and I'm afraid about if we didn't have different underground secret things. And even though they do a lot of bad things, at the same time, it can protect us as well. And so,
Now let me ask you: how do you think we're crossing the line to say that they exist?
Well, it's not the fact that they exist, but it sounds like he's a little bit informative, and every time people
what's wrong with being informative?
Well, it's
what's
being
wrong with informative, being
informative? Because it's pointing out different locations, and it gets so deep that, you know, these other people that hate us, they just sit here listening, and they can hear a lot about our defense.
Let me tell you something.
the Russians, the Chinese, the North Koreans know more about what is in this country than you do. Because
they've been hacking our Pentagon, and you're just giving them more information.
Well, now, wait a minute. Hang on. Time out. All of the information that Richard is referring to is information you can get from the Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah.
So it's information that has already been made public by the government.
Okay, now, I'll say this. He might have a great point, and I could be completely off basis, and I'll admit it. I just have to say things are just really screwed up in the world, and I get really worried, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Well, and I don't disagree with that. I often say if things are so screwed up, you'll never get them unscrewed.
The only way you get things unscrewed is by applying yourself to them. I don't have a defeatist attitude, and I'm not the type of person to say that ignorance is bliss. If you'd rather be ignorant and blissful, fine. Go back to sleep and enjoy your ignorance, if that's what makes you comfortable.
Well, I think we do need to underscore that you haven't revealed anything other than what the government, through their documents in Freedom of Information, revealed to you.
Oh, I don't think I have one piece of information in this particular book that I got through the Freedom of Information Act. I think all of this I just found out basically by going to look in documents collections that are open to the public.
Okay, so it's open source.
Pardon me?
So it's open source documentation.
Oh, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
All of it.
All right, we're almost out of time. I want to take one more call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith.
I want to emphasize there's an important principle here, and it's enshrined in the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. That is freedom of speech, and that is freedom of the press. And I absolutely claim both of those freedoms. The freedom to discuss and to talk about what I have found and what I write in my books. That is an all-American principle, and I will defend that strongly. And I would submit that anyone who objects to that is not really as nearly as American as they would.
Oh, no. I think maybe they're just at a different level of understanding.
Anyone who objects to freedom of speech and freedom of the press is no friend of the American Constitution.
Well, I would agree with that statement, but people are at different levels of understanding about what's out there in the open source. I want to take this call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Yeah, you go, Rich. Richard, you know, you're absolutely right. I just wanted to share that, do you know that since 9/11, the government used to spend like $1 billion on keeping things secret, and it's went up to $8 billion. And they used to have sites on the internet where you could get information, and that's all went back behind a firewall, you know, and are no longer sharing.
That's right.
And
a lot of government data is not accessible anymore.
And I'd like to, put a little story out there for people.
You have to do it real quick.
Who are helping these guys. The story about the tortoise and the scorpion. And the scorpion asks for a ride across the lake. And the turtle says, yeah, but you'll bite me. And he says, no, I won't. I just need to get to the other side. And they get out in the middle of the lake. And the scorpion bites the turtle, and he says, well, why'd you do that? You're going to die. You're going to die now, too. Well, it's my nature. So I just want to warn people, Congress, the military, anyone who is helping the cabal to create these places, and, you know, with the understanding that they're going to be safe and taken care of, better take another great look at yourselves, because once they are no longer needed, they aren't going to be there, so that's my opinion.
Okay, Terry, thank you for your opinion, and that's a great story. You know, you can pet a snake and call it a kitty, and he'll still bite you, and you'll still die. Doesn't matter if you believe it's a kitty, it's a snake. So, but having said that, and I don't want to paint everyone with the same brush. We have a lot of very, very pro-Constitution and very real patriot people that do serve in our government. They're not all part of the cabal. They're not all part of evil designs. And we have a lot of very, very pro-Constitution people in our military.
If that's the case, Kevin, these people need to start standing up and make their voices heard, because they are conspicuous by their silence to this point.
I think that's true in a great many cases. But it's also true that there are people that speak up and pay a heavy price for it. And, they need to be encouraged. And I do, on this show, encourage people who took that oath to uphold and defend the Constitution to do so. And do what you took the oath to do.
I've seen many officers resigning their commission over these unconstitutional activities. Very few and far between. And that goes for both civil officers of the government and military officers. There are some examples of that, but very few.
You're right about that. And I have seen high-ranking military stand on TV and say that all we have to have in order to do a wiretap is reasonable suspicion. And I saw a reporter quote the Constitution, which, by the way, says it has to be probable cause, and I'll just leave it to you folks to go figure out what that is. You can find it on the internet. There's a big, huge legal difference. Richard, we're out of time. And to the caller who's calling in, I'm sorry, we're out of time. And we're just not going to have time to take another call. Richard, I want to thank you for being with us. It's always exciting. It's never dull when you're with us, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate the research and writing that you've done. And I hope you'll come back and be with us again.
Yes, and the difficulties in this transmission indicate that there are people who desperately do not want the American people to hear what I have to say.
That is true. If you will, just stay on the line with me for a minute as I bring the show to a close. I'd like to speak with you online on the telephone right after we close the show. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap for this evening, and we have a very interesting and varied list of guests for the week, so you want to be sure and be here for each and every show. If you miss a single second, you're going to miss a whole universe of information, and you know that to be the truth. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.